This evening we will continue in this light in a contemplation of maybe the only thing we know, other than we seemingly have come into birth form. And that only thing that we can truly know is death. Not just the death finality of this body, but as we've been inquiring into, the death that occurs every moment. The inherent impermanence of the phenomenal world that all arises and passes. That death is the most intimate. It is the very nature of life itself. And as we start to come into intimacy with this impermanence and with death, life becomes a flowing source of grace and surrender and of deep presence, contentment and gratitude for the moments we are here, embodied consciousness. When there is a true recognition, this true seeing of the impermanence, the death that is here in every moment, nothing else is left but the self. Everything else falls away in the recognition that it is not to be held on to, that its very nature is changing. And so in many ways, intimacy with death, with impermanence, is the deepest intimacy with yourself, with life. Let's begin this evening with an inspiration from Rabia. Rabia was a beautiful female Islamic saint of the Sufi tradition from the 7th century, and in many ways inspired Rumi and Hafez later. She offers, "Die before you die." Ironic, but one of the most intimate acts of our body is death. So beautiful appeared my death, knowing who then I would kiss, I died 1,000 times before I died. "Die before you die," said the Prophet Muhammad. "Have wings that feared ever touched the sun? I was born when all I once feared I could love." And from a beautiful book and offering from a contemporary being, his name Frank Ostaseski. He wrote a book recently called The Five Invitations of his experiencing with death. He started a program called the Zen Hospice and was present to so many individuals as they passed and offers so much wisdom from this recognition of passing. This place of rest is always available to us. We need only turn toward it. It is experienced when we bring our full attention without distraction to this very moment. With sincere practice, after some time, we can come to know this spaciousness as a regular part of our lives. It manifests as an aspect of us that is never sick, is not born, and will never die. This place of rest is always available to us. And the more we come into comfort with the impermanence, the more we become available to it. He offers further. Our lives are not solid and fixed. Knowing this intimately is how we prepare for death, for loss of any kind, and how we come to fully embrace constant change. We are not just our past. We are now. We can release grudges, we can forgive, we can free ourselves of resentment and regret before this body dies. Don't wait. Everything we need is right in front of us. Impermanence is the very doorway to possibility. Embracing it is where true freedom lies. So even now, feeling the presence of impermanence as I read these words and then they pass away, that moment never to be experienced again. As you breathe this breath now, and it falls away, never to be known again. As the crickets make their songs in their unique way in this moment, and it dies and passes away. As the waves pulse against the shore, the specificity of this moment, and it dies away. The sound of Easter firecrackers still left over, popping and crackling, that moment never to be experienced again. As we sit here in this space, now the preciousness that is here, in a day's time, never to be the same again. As this body moves 1 second, 1 millisecond, 1 breath, 1 heartbeat closer to its fatality, recognize impermanence. And in the recognition of impermanence, feel the great wellspring of freedom. Nothing is to be held on to. If tonight, now, was the last moment, the last breaths, the last gift of being here on earth embodied, how would you come now? Would you say the self can wait? I'd rather be entangled in the noise of the mind? Would you suffer with tireless old patterns for even 1 more second? Or would everything drop away into the clear knowing that this moment is all that exists? this beautiful, simple offering from an author, David White. He says, "Apprentice yourself to the curve of your own disappearance. Apprentice yourself to the curve of your own disappearance. Become so intimate so in touch with the knowing that all disappears. And in that disappearing, feel the vast aliveness of being. In Frank's hospice work, he would often read to some of the patients who were on their deathbeds various Zen death quotes, koans. In Japan, there's a tradition of Zen monks writing these short verses in preparation for their death, in fact. Simple ones like the following, which was from Kozan Ichikyo, who offered in simplicity. "Empty-handed, I entered the world. Barefoot, I leave it. My coming, my going, two simple happenings that got entangled." And he would read these simple yet profound offerings to many of the patients. And one of the patients, named Sono, was so inspired to write her own. Let's hear the precision of self-knowing that arises from one's intimacy with death, the greatest teacher. She wrote, "Don't just stand there with your hair turning gray. Soon enough, the seas will sink your little island. So while there is still the illusion of time, set out for another shore. No sense packing a bag. You won't be able to lift it into your boat. Give away all your collections. Take only new seeds and an old stick. Send out some prayers on the wind before you sail. Don't be afraid. Someone knows you're coming. An extra fish has been salted." Feel the intensity in this poem of presence. The intensity of surrendering to the fullness of this very moment, of letting go to expectation, holding, or craving for any future projection, a true recognition. What would it be like to live each moment as though it were the last? In the Gnostic Christian tradition, monks would often meet each other in the monastery and offer memento mori as a greeting. It means remember death. Memento mori, remember death, which was really pointing to remember life, that this moment is all that exists. And in this way, when we recognize that life only exists now, each moment becomes completely and totally permeated by sacred sight, the very sacredness that is inherent in life, the preciousness is seen with clarity and openness and welcoming. We don't have to do one thing or another, cultivate or make life sacred. Its naturally arising beauty is tasted. And in that recognition, Rumi offers a beautiful way in which we can come to life when we really recognize the impermanence of each moment and come to live fully. And he offers with passion. With passion, pray. With passion, work. With passion, make love. With passion, eat and drink and dance and play. Why look like a dead fish in this ocean of God? With passion, pray. With passion, work. With passion, make love. With passion, eat and drink and dance and play. Why look like a dead fish in this ocean of God? To really come into the fullness of passion, not a passion from the mind, a craving passion from the personal, to really feel the full aliveness of life. This only arises in the true recognition of the fleeting moments. And so in every tradition, there has been a recognition of death as an important recognition to live fully, to wake to the truth. And in fact, in this lineage of Advaita, this lineage of Ramana Maharishi, Ramana's awakening happened through a death experience or a recognition of death. And as we come to sit, let's firstly listen to his awakening moments and then move into silence. He offers the following. It was about 6 weeks before I left Madurai for good that a great change in my life took place. It was quite sudden. I was sitting in a room on the first floor of my uncle's house. I seldom had any sickness, and on that day there was nothing wrong with my health. But a sudden, violent fear of death overtook me. There was nothing in my state of health to account for it, and I did not try to account for it or to find out whether there was any reason for the fear. I just felt, I am going to die, and began thinking what to do about it. It did not occur to me to consult a doctor or my elders or friends. I felt that I had to solve the problem myself then and there. The shock of the fear of death drove my mind inwards, and I said to myself mentally, without actually framing the words, now death has come. What does it mean? What is it that it's dying? This body dies. And I at once dramatized the occurrence of death. I lay with my limbs stretched out stiff, as though rigor mortis had set in, and imitated a corpse so as to give greater reality to the inquiry. I held my breath and kept my lips tightly closed so that no sound could escape, so that neither the word I or any other word could be uttered. Well then, I said to myself, this body is dead. It will be carried stiff to the burning ground and there burnt and reduced to ashes. But with the death of this body, am I dead? Is the body I? It is silent and inert, but I feel the full force of my personality and even the voice of the I within me apart from it. So I am spirit transcending the body. The body dies, but the spirit that transcends it cannot be touched by death. This means I am this deathless spirit, self. All this was not a dull thought. It flashed through me vividly as living truth, which I perceived directly, almost without thought process. I was something very real, the only real thing about my present state. And all the conscious activity connected with my body was centered on that I. From that moment onwards, the I, or self-focused attention on itself by a powerful fascination. Fear of death had vanished once and for all. Absorption in the self continued unbroken from that time on. Other thoughts might have come and go like the various notes of music, but the I continued like the fundamental Shruti note, background note, that underlies and blends with all the other notes. Whether the body was engaged in talking, reading, or anything else, I was still centered in I. Previous to that crisis, I had no clear perception of myself and was not consciously attracted to it. I felt no perceptible or direct interest in it, much less any inclination to dwell permanently in it. But from that moment on, I only resided as I. So this evening, as we sit, you can recognize, connect to impermanence as it lives here now. The death, the slipping away of each moment. And the timelessness, the presence that pervades all. But you can also allow this sense of death to be felt here at home in the body. The recognition that this body-mind will perish. And even now, taking a moment as a death meditation to visualize that surrendering, as Ramana did, to offer it to the funeral pyre. Who is left if this body-mind is burned away? If there are only ashes left of this cloak, who still resides? Let yourself inquire deeply into the presence of death. as we come to walk off the cushion and into the next moments, recognizing that inherent impermanence moment to moment, and thus really savoring the preciousness of life in each offering. And even as the death of sleep enters in this evening, let yourself be awake as self, watchful of the little death. Let this too be met with inquiry. We will meet tomorrow at 6:30 in the morning. And for tomorrow's schedule,